Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 22nd. This episode 1556 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Will's making this feel real like we're at a radio station. He's rocking a 96X beanie.
That's right. Right now over here on my side of the control room, we got the beanie on. We're going to play some jams coming up later from Megadeth coming up.
Skid Row. No, yeah, not Skid Row.
I was trying to think of who played the song
Follow the Leader.
Hoobastank?
Yeah. We got some Hoobastank. Hoobastank for you on 96X.
Yellow card.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to Nick from 96X, who's a listener of ours, who sent that to us. Yeah, Will and I grew up listening to 96X. I just posted. It's one of the cool moments. I've had a lot of random people reach out to us.
It was like full circle of our life.
Yes. It's like a bunch of random people who are listeners. Like, that's awesome. Like, we had Mike from Delta Ray. Like, all these cool people. But then I found out one of our listeners is the program director of our childhood, our teenage rock station. I kind of had a geek out moment with him. He's like, you got to come tour the studio. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to hopefully go up there and spend some time and check out 96X and pretend it's 2002
Wish
again.
Mike and Bob were still on the air.
Fantastic.
We miss you guys.
Fantastic.
I love the fantastic guy.
All right, back to WDW Today and what we're talking about. We are going to do a topic that Terry came up with, actually.
So if it's bad, one. You can blame me.
Right. So
typically, we do regardless.
This past weekend was the 50th anniversary of Pirates of the Caribbean, the attraction, Walt's last attraction, as they say. And
which looked like a lot of fun. I mean, outside of the lines, they had some special,
the special stuff at Disneyland.
They had a special golden churro.
That's cool. What do you mean?
Delightful.
Was it a different flavor? Or just they,
no, like they, it was like covered colored? In gold dust. Not the wrestler gold dust, but
I one would hope not.
Yeah. There'd be a big Disney boycott over that, I feel like. But moving on from that.
Disney boycotts.
Yeah, if gold dust is covering your churros. But I do like, you brought up a topic and I liked it. And it was this is the 50th anniversary of that attraction. Now we've seen the 45th and so on of Haunted Mansion. We've seen a lot of these attractions last 50 years. And the question is, let's project 50 years in the future. When we're doing this podcast in 50 years, and I...
What is it, 2067, right?
There'll be six different casts before then. There won't even be podcasts. It'll just be inside your brain.
Yeah.
It'll just be us talking inside your head, right?
It's called brain casting. I mean, I already have a patent.
Let's just be honest. In 50 years, if we're still doing this and alive, then technology has gotten really good.
I would hope we're still alive
at 80?
In 50 years.
At 80? I could be alive. It may be 90-something.
Well, especially like, you know, the Google machines are trying to make us robots, and so we should never die.
That's true.
Is what I've heard.
Yes, like your brain will be implanted, but we will kind of die. But I guess we can still do a podcast.
NERD. No one ever really dies. 96X. Full circle.
But you brought that up, and I think it's interesting. You know, what will we see that will never go away? What could we see that will stay the test of time? Is there any kind of current classics that you think could go away? Are we going to see in 50 years, due to tech, just a completely different theme park?
So do you want to do this park by park? Or do you want to do this popcorn? Like, I'll pick one, you go one.
I know, it's kind of hard to say. You came up with the idea. Why don't you tell
I'll start
us?
First. I don't think It's a Small World is going away. I think in 50 years, it will still be a small world after all. I think that ride is so quintessential to the Disney brand. I have a feeling it may get an update of some sorts.
As it has throughout the years.
As it has throughout the years. And there's different iterations at different theme parks. The version that's at Disneyland Paris is very different than the version that's at...
I think you're right, because I think there is a concept of, you know, we think 50 years forever away, but for like my son... Who's going? You know, he'll be in his mid-50s. He will be 54. And to him, Small World is Disney World.
He'll be taking part of his childhood
as well.
Your son will be taking his teenagers to ride It's a Small World.
Yeah, if not adults.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time, I mean, depends on when he has kids. If Riker's 54, he may have kids. And I mean, if when I'm 50, he'll 54, he'll be well out of, in college, I would assume, right?
Right. Well,
one could hope.
Who's to say?
He'll be in college in 14 years.
Right. No, I'm saying, so, but if
I'll
he's
only
on,
be like 40.
If he's Logan on the fast track, then he's.
Oh, then he'll be in 10 years.
Slaying he's it already out
there. Yeah.
He may own Disney World by then.
That's fine.
He bought up all
he'll
the
be,
stock.
He'll be WWE champion. If his life goals don't change.
All right, I'm going to clip this out and let's hope that it's prophecy.
Not by at 56 he won't be. This would be like that could be in 15, 20 years. You know,
I know.
Hulk
I'm
Hogan.
Just saying even I just want this.
Your family
on
is the new McMahon family.
No, I'm not going to I'm not just going to insert him into WrestleMania. He's going to have to earn his way there.
Yeah, Logan's not going to also necessarily own the WWE.
I may own my other wrestling business.
Right.
I'm not going to sign him. Right, yeah. All right, back to Disney. All right, sorry, we just got done with the live show on Patreon, which we go have a little more fun with, so it's able to...
We kinda, had fun on that show.
No, we're able to ramble a little bit more and talk about other stuff, so unfortunately, we're still a little bit in that mindset.
If you think we go off the rails on this show, and you really want to have an off-the-rail experience...
Join
the Patreon.
Right. But for me, I'm trying to think of what attractions I think will be there in 50 years. Man, it's really tough to say. I don't see, like, I'm thinking attraction, not like, yeah, Main Street USA will probably be there, but I don't, like, it's really hard. Small World's a really good one. I would think maybe Space Mountain in some form.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Splash Mountain necessarily, and I wouldn't necessarily say any of the other mountains. But I think there'd be a version of Space Mountain that will probably still exist, whether it's this or some like a new refresh.
I think
version.
Big Thunder, out of all the mountains, to have some version of a wilderness because of the nostalgia.
The question is, does that become too far removed? Does Frontier America become too far removed from in the next 50 years? Because it's honestly, for me... Like, even going there as a kid, being like, oh, yeah, this is like cowboys and stuff like that. I don't really see that appeal as much in a kid right now.
Right.
There's not a big cowboy boom. And there was a big cowboy boom when that stuff was being put in.
Very
That's when Westerns were huge in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even the John Wayne era right. stuff. So to me, I look at it and go, is there, you know, are they going to put in a land that's more, what's the alternative to that? What is 100 years previous of what's in 50 years? So will that be they're doing things that are themed of the 50s and 60s or 70s or 80s? Maybe there's something like that that comes into place more
so
than
Frontierland.
I would say Frontierland
will be 80s themed in 50 years.
People would have laughed at that. I mean, if you would have thought, if they had Disneyland in the Frontier era, they would have laughed at it. One day this will be a theme park.
50 years from now, we're predicting a Captain EO comeback because there's going to be a Michael Jackson attraction in Frontierland.
Well, Frontierland would be more like space. So future world would change because that's the new frontier would be space.
Right.
That's so then like future world
we'll be living on the
would
moon.
Be like internal brain operate. It actually Body Wars comes back in future world. Because, like the next frontier is... The space is the final frontier.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to say someone's called the final frontier.
Right. So that's where you'd have to think if there was a big shift in the future away, if they still kept the park map the same and a frontier world, then it would have to be more like an Epcot type place or future world.
If I had to bet of one that would, at Magic Kingdom, one section of the park that could go away in 50 years, I think I would bet on that. Maybe Liberty Square, technically, but I don't think Haunted Mansion will be there.
See, my thing is, do they leave something like Frontier World and make it hyper nostalgia, like over the top nostalgia? Not that it isn't already, but like even more campy. And then Tomorrowland completely is changed completely because. It's no longer Tomorrowland.
I mean, that's the rumor that's happening right now, is that Tomorrowland was going to be changed. And I think Tomorrowland will, if it's going to be successful and still be Tomorrowland and not the nostalgia stuck Tomorrowland, which I kind of like, still, I'm not going to lie, that the sort of 60 space program sort of concept of Tomorrowland is looking towards the future and that would need to upgrade. But I don't see, if I look at it, and I also have to think about what attractions are there based on also what IPs and what films are connected to it. I don't necessarily see anything in Frontierland that appeals to any movies that will be considered classics in 50 years. Maybe Toy Story, technically, they do the Woody and stuff out there. I think Toy Story is a modern-day classic and will be a classic forever. It'll be Snow White that we show kids forever. But I just don't think there's enough. I could see if they're going to tear out an area and rebuild something, that's my go-to. And not my personal go-to, what I just think is the most logical.
Right.
But what do I think will stay in 50 years? I think there'll be a version of the Haunted Mansion, a version of It's a Small World. I don't think Main Street USA or the castle go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything else is, Pirates is the only one I'd say maybe, and also not Pirates, but it's going to be the thing of in 50 years. Like, we're already 50 years into this thing, and it's a great boat ride experience. But is that even interesting to kids in, you know, 50 years? You know, I've shown my son even the Avatar boat ride, and he's a little bit like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, It's a Small World. I kind of done it. You know, to me, I love a boat ride, but I'm curious if that's enough to generate people coming through the gates. It's just, I mean, I think it's just
looking at it. I haven't obviously seen the Shanghai Pirates.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
But, like, that iteration seems like that would be the possibility for...
I mean, you'd even have to assume the technology would go way further in 50 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, that you'd have to do a significant upgrade. And again, it's one of those things that, which is society interested in pirates in 50 years still? Are we still interested in these established... People are going to be so different in 50 years, whether you have, especially in America, with all the different cultures and everything that's combined, it's hard to really forecast. But I'd say if I had to pick out, let's pick out three. I would say Haunted Mansion, It's a Small World, and Pirates are probably the three that and Space Mountain are my three.
I predict that the Wreck-It Ralph attraction that's rumored to take the place of Stitch will be redone with the live action version of Wreck-It Ralph that they will come out with. You know, because if you look at Disney history, we're remaking the 90s. So in 20 years, we're going to remake, Wreck-It Ralph, the live action version.
And I actually think that's something to talk about is with the VR elements and all of that becoming the new norm, projections, VR, screen-based things. I don't think attractions will have 50-year lifespans.
No.
It's not a necessity because you're not building this monstrosity that you can't really do anything with pirates unless you tore it down.
Unless that becomes what people are seeking even more.
Right.
Like if people get overly saturated with...
Very good point.
I can go to a local VR park because you don't need the space that you need at a theme park like that. So if it's almost a reaction where people want more realism.
People go the opposite direction, backwards,
right.
Yeah.
I think that you guys are right. There's not really too many other things that I would say is going to stay other than the ones you've mentioned. I think Pirates, I'll be interested to see if things like how I'm talking about how maybe people look for more realism, which Disney right now
I like that thought.
Disney's so fantasy-based as it is, just in the concepts, like Pirates and Peter Pan and things that are that. What if it's in the future, because everything at your fingertips you can make happen because of VR and different experiences you can have just from your home, if it becomes more realistic? So, I mean, as absurd as this sounds, what if it's cyber pirates or something like that, that it plays back to what the original concept was but just updates it in futuristic? Or, Somali pirates, which is a current iteration of pirates. Why are you shaking your head?
Somali pirates of the Caribbean.
They drop the Caribbean. Pirates of the pirates. Pirates of Africa or something like that, where it's an update. So 50 years from now, when they're taking over cargo ships.
It's like the great movie ride, but in the water.
If there's sort of a post-apocalyptic world, and I don't mean that in a facetious way, like in a way that's sort of a darker world that we live in, you're going to be going to experience reality that is based in some form of... There is a nostalgia attached to it.
Right, but I'm just saying right now that's a current pirate problem.
Right.
That's a real pirate. They're taking over.
Right, but that's the reason we celebrate pirates now is because we're so far removed.
Right, so I'm saying 50 years from now that no one say that your child doesn't remember it at all because they put it into that.
Think about things that are 50 years ago. We're not touching those if they're violent, bad things.
Okay, but I'm just saying I'm trying to pontificate here.
I know, and I'm rebuttaling it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it could be something like that.
Yeah. All right.
Any okay, well, maybe it's like Smokey and the Bandit or something. The ride. So it'd be 100 years removed.
Well, that brings me actually to a thought. I just thought about this
you're going to correct yourself and say that Carousel of Progress is still going to be here in 50 years.
No, I'm not going to correct myself and say that. I don't see. I mean, unless they. No, I don't think so.
Just not going to update it. Just going to keep it.
Well, they've done that for a while. For Hollywood Studios, I think it's actually interesting, and this is where Star Wars Land becomes an interesting thought to me, and that is because 50 years from now, Star Wars is a 90-year-old franchise. But that being said, it's also being introduced, like I said, to 4-year-olds right now.
Yeah.
And those 4-year-olds are going to show their kids.
Right.
So and if Star Wars is successful enough, none of us will live to see the last Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
There may never be a last Star Wars movie.
Right. It's just a perpetual franchise.
It's somewhat like the Marvel movies are now. I don't think the Marvel movies, even if there's a huge hit in, there may be one a year instead of 6. And I feel like that's going to happen with Star Wars. And I think because they've created there's 4 generations of Star Wars fans now, and by then there'll be potentially 7. That or more, I think you have the ability to see that Star Wars Land could very well set itself up to be there for a very long time, well after our lifetimes. Maybe not the exact version. I'm sure, again, they're building this to where they can update it. But I think that you'll see that stick around for a long time, just purely based on it's a franchise that has spanned 40 years already and is just rebooted.
Well, and also if you think about the way the internal guts of the Frozen Ever After ride is. Really, there's animatronics that move, but a big part of it's the projection technology. So what if there are boat rides, but it's a hybrid virtual experience that are constantly rotating based off the next hit movie?
Yeah. I think that's more likely the case.
And back to what you're saying of, it's not reality things. It does go fully into non-real things. So all the films, basically, and they create, you're going to live out these experiences.
Like Fantasy Island.
Right.
And I think you'll have the choice, too. I think there's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of, I think we'll see in 50 years, and I think we'll see in the next 10 years, honestly, a move into a more user-controlled environment to where there may be attractions that have not only multiple versions, but so much so that you may be experiencing a different ride than the person sitting next to you.
Yeah, and it's not you controlling it. It's them knowing what you want.
In fact, we just looked at a patent that Disney approved.
Where they control your emotions.
Where they can change the ride vehicle based on your facial expression.
Right.
Disney just filed that patent.
But I'm even saying more so than them deciding, more so you can decide.
Right.
You'll be able to choose your own adventure in some ways of that. So it may be Pirates of the Caribbean, but maybe you're an evil pirate. Maybe you're a good pirate. Maybe
I don't know that Disney will let you be bad.
A good level of bad. You know, like you'll be on Barbossa's team on the ship, or there's something more to it. I do think that's really interesting, and I think this goes actually into the more personalized, universal concept of bringing things deeper in. Is if you've seen the Avatar, this goes a little bit, the Avatar boats.
Yeah.
They're like 2 rows or 3 rows. They're very small from what I've seen. Mm. And fit 2 or 3 people per row. So you're going to have look, I'm only going to say this because I saw the videos they put out, like the press are using, and it looks that way. Like I tried to like count how many people were on this boat, and it was like 4 or maybe 6 tops.
Mm. 6 people. So 2 per row.
Like it almost was more of a traditional, almost the size of like the Spaceship Earth, but it's a boat.
Gotcha.
And that made me think of, okay, what do I look at a boat ride that I dislike? I dislike being smushed in the middle. Mm-hmm. And not being able to experience it. I don't like touching a bunch of people I don't know. It's often uncomfortable. There's usually no leg room, yada, yada, yada. If you can now say, okay, well, let's do 50 boats that are this big, that's an interesting way to do it. And I think that moves more towards that, are we going to see and I feel that's the way with the personalization thing, because that's how you'd be able to also, maybe instead of it's personalized one-on-one, it could be personalized for a family.
And they're kind of already messing around with some of that where even the new cars, even the new test track, where you do get some say in your ride experience.
But it does nothing different. It's a pretend.
The theory of that is...
it's setting place, yeah.
Yeah, they're already almost like getting you used to that. But back to Hollywood Studios, I literally think that the Star Wars stuff that's going in Hollywood Studios is potentially the only thing that survives 50 years.
Yeah. Toy Story.
I think Toy Story could.
Toy Story, because
Because it's a classic.
When it becomes the land will be nostalgic. That's, why they're putting it in.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily Toy Story Mania, that attraction in its essence, but I do think Toy Story...
But it's not there now, so the only thing that would be potentially surviving would be like some sort of Star Wars...
No, yeah, I was forecasting saying Star Wars Land will be there.
I don't even think... I honestly think that anything that's in Hollywood Studios now, with the exception of maybe a version of Star Tours, but nothing that's there now will survive without any updates at all, I don't think.
Well, I think everything
is going to have to be updated.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think we would ever...
We said that Small World, all those will have to be updated, Haunted Mansion, and they've been updated throughout the years.
I think that Toy Story Mania, a ride like that where...
It's interactive. It's a game.
Yeah. That's already what we're talking about on a current level. Like, obviously, it can update crazy and be something that we have no real concept of. In the future, but I do feel like that's still a very Disney idea. And I think that that's another thing is that if Disney is going to remain successful, they still have to be true to themselves while being innovative. And so the fun of Toy Story Mania, even the name Toy Story Mania is so Disney. That's quintessential Disney naming right there of a ride. I think that if you go too far away from something like that, which is why I think that a Toy Story Mania could be around in 50 years, if it's still a classic,
yep.
All those things. If our projections are right on that, I see actually that ride in an updated iteration still being there.
Yeah. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think those are the things that would, I think you're right. They're building for the future. And you're right that I think that a lot of it will be gone or updated. But I'm not entirely sure of any other attraction. Again, you look at something like a Rock and Roller Coaster or a Tower of Terror, and it's hard to not argue that those are two flagship attractions. I don't think either of them will be themed that way, but they may exist in some form.
I'm not sure they'll be themed that way in 10 years.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't...
Rock and Roller Coaster may still be musical, but it may not be Aerosmith.
I have a hard time... thinking in 50 years that roller coaster
survives
there.
Yeah, but maybe some sort of indoor. No, probably not.
And here's the thing. See, I don't see rides like roller coasters going away.
Right, because you can't experience that anymore.
Right,
way.
The fact of literally
even a drop ride, like
literally taking you very fast.
Yeah.
In reality, I feel like experiences like that are going to become more and more valuable to people in the future. And that's why I feel like it would have to be something more intense than Rock and Roller Coaster currently is. I don't think Disney will ever be the thrill ride park in that sense, but it will have to increase its thrill level to compensate for where life is.
All right. So let's move on off Hollywood Studios and let's where have we haven't touched
yet? We've got Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
I think all the animals in 50 years are extinct anyway, so probably not going to have that.
I think the safari stays.
Yep. I think
hopefully. Hopefully it's better in 50 years.
I think Everest might stay.
Good chance.
Just for the nostalgia. Years?
50 sounds like
I don't think so, because it's
Do you think they could get...
At that point, it would be almost a 70-year-old attraction, right? It's what, 50, almost 12, 15, 15 years old? 15.
And it's already, in a sense, it's a fun ride, but has that kind of... laughing stock notion about it, that if in 50 years they have a ride that still has a broken Yeti.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe by then they can actually get the Yeti to work.
And that's why I think it goes away. I think they come up with something.
Those are such massive structures, though. That's the one thing I kind of think of. With Animal Kingdom, that's sort of the problem is those are, it'd be like saying, well, we're getting rid of Spaceship Earth, the actual physical ball. You know, I don't know if Spaceship Earth will survive, but something will always be inside of that or nothing. But yeah. The ball will always be there.
But that is the icon of the park.
Yeah, true.
And they've gotten rid of an icon before.
True.
But I don't think they'll
debatable.
I think you're right. I don't think they'll get rid of
twice. Hollywood Studios, they've gotten rid of two icons. They got rid of the Eiffel Tower, which was the first.
That was the true icon of the park. I never considered that hat nothing.
Yeah, I always kind of considered the Chinese Theater as the icon.
Oh. Well, I do think, though, with that structure, here's the other side of it. With them opening a huge section of the park, And with Everest is kind of at the back of the park, right? Like it's on the far side. I feel like they could get away with it if it were the central focus, like the tree.
Of life. Yeah,
hard to just implode that and start building, but they could block off a back section and shift it and push all the attention towards Navi and
so here's a 50,
not Navi Pandora. Navi are the
here's
people.
A 50-year question. Is in 50 years, is James Cameron going to have had released a sequel to Avatar?
No.
No, it's never happened.
I don't think we'll get Avatar 2, if I'm being honest. I just don't. I think he's...
Do you think this helps the cause?
No.
No.
I don't think it matters.
Interesting. I just don't. I mean, maybe there is an Avatar 2, but I don't believe it. Do I think that that area will still be there? Yes, and here's why I think so. I don't know if it'll be Avatar, but I think what you're seeing is, and you're seeing it really Universal, because Universal has realized they've had a complete theme park turnaround from their opening, and not necessarily all out of want.
Right.
A lot of it out of outdated attractions. And whether we like it or not, a lot of the brands that they killed were attractions that were no longer bringing in people. So yes, Back to the Future was... I'd say a better attraction than Simpsons. However, I have to say, I never loved that attraction. The lines were never getting that long anymore for that. So that now they're building attractions that are sadly largely screen-based. Now I'll say that's probably their biggest negative right now at Universal is everything's on the screen. But that's because 5 years from now, change it up, whatever it is. They can do, all they do is do a new ride pattern, a new video, and they're good to go. I think the Disney planners are also looking towards that, saying, what's going to be here? How can we adjust this? And even if the Avatar branding, which I assume will be there forever for various reasons, they could very well make that some other version of of that in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I don't know if it'll be out. I don't know if – see, I more have like a double standard in my head, like attraction versus theming. Mm-hmm. And I still think – I think there's some breakdown. Like, are we tearing this thing down?
Yeah.
Or are you saying it's being rebuilt? And I think Avatar will exist in some form now as it does in the, when it updates, just purely based on – I think they thought ahead.
This is another kind of outside the box hypothetical, but will 50 years is a long time to expect movies to be the same.
Right.
You know, so they can be banking long term on Avatar as a themed place in thinking that, you know, we may not need a sequel to perpetuate this because movies may in and of themselves not exist in the same form in the future long term. And I think a lot of that with VR entertainment on the phones and things like that, you're already seeing things different. So what if you're going to a world which is experiencing a movie? So they control the property at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I think
that's where people start experiencing and consuming media and films in a different way.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we saw that with the 4DX theater. I mean,
right, exactly. You talked about that in the live show.
Yeah, so go listen to that. But essentially, it's a theme park style ride that is now being developed for every major movie coming out, and it's open in Orlando now.
Yeah,
you're talking about the sense, the smells, like Soarin' or like.
Right, and that's
rides.
What made me kind of think about that. Like the experience of a
is going to change.
Place could be what. Movie consumption is.
And then everything else in Animal Kingdom, I mean, I don't really see anything other than the Safari and maybe Everest and maybe Avatar Land, but like really if we look at what's open now, like I don't see any of those being...
Dinosaur Land's not dinosaur, whatever that...
I don't think it'll be there. I don't think it can survive 50 years.
Yeah.
All right. Then moving on to Epcot.
I don't think Epcot as we know it is... still a place in 50 years. I don't know that the World Showcase and all those things survive 50 years.
I think
five decades.
I think World Showcase will. I think Future World will definitely.
Yeah, that's why I would more than. I think you gut the entire first half of the park and then the other half.
In 50 years.
I don't think it'll be the same, but I think there will exist.
There'll be new, they're going to add new countries.
Right. Like I think there will be
a way to go around the world without actually having to go anywhere.
That's thinking that. In 50 years, we still have nation states in the same iteration
True.
As we do. I mean, I'm not trying to sound weird or conspiratorial or New World Order-ish, but...
No, I think where we were 50 years ago.
But right, 50 years is a lot of changes in the structure of the world. And as things get interesting in this new phase of the United States and the world, and just to think of way that cultural breakdowns fall. It's harder to assume that you're going to have national identities in 50 years that are the same.
Identifiable.
Like
American identity. How would you even do it if you're doing it current day?
Right, because what the American pavilion is currently American experience, is what they call
it? American adventure.
I always call it American pavilion. But
the pavilion, yeah. No, it's American pavilion and it's experiences.
Right, so that is very much a historical look, not like current American culture. And so I think that that's how they get away with it there.
Which is why some of those other cards, like Canada and some of those videos, look a little stupid now.
Exactly.
Because they're aged. And I think there is that. And now when I'm starting to think about it, I think you're right in the sense of when I walk through World Showcase, there's nostalgia for World Showcase more than there is for visiting the countries.
Exactly.
So like Mexico, I don't really even think of it as Mexico as much as, oh, I used to come here as a kid. This is
fun. There's a tequila bar.
Right. And same, I kind of feel that way about all the countries. I don't really feel like I'm getting a full cultural experience as much as I am experiencing the nostalgia of which I had when I was a kid.
Right.
And dining. The only thing that would throw that off is maybe dining because that is a great opportunity for them to expand on food and charge you a lot of money for it.
So, but what if they just continue? What if they make, and we've already kind of seen this, a food and wine style constant offering? Because now we know that, you know, you've got so many of these festivals that
pretty
these are things.
Happening.
So they do that as a part of the park constantly, and they go away from the World Showcase pavilion style. That could be sooner rather than later, but I do think that you're right. You know, like you don't really go to experience the culture of, and I think that they've already done a very good job of leading us down that path with the Norway Pavilion now being frozen.
Yeah. I mean, you think a lot of them are this sort of historical thing that doesn't exist in real life.
Right.
If you go to France, it's not anything like the French Pavilion.
Right.
If you go to England, it's kind of is. It's a
stuck in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some of that. Some of these cities are so historic that they'll always look, they'll have a certain vibe. You know, they'll always look very similar.
That also being said, though, that's only in like the, yes, Oxford feels very much like England. London doesn't. London doesn't feel like the British pavilion.
But the London architecture has a similar vibe, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to talk about what Will brought up with the Magic Kingdom, is there may be that desire for the old world that we may want to have that throwback.
But are we living in the old world now?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, we're living in it now, and it's already not like what we're seeing.
Right.
So if you do current world 50 years from now,
this has become Star Talk.
No, but it's dull. Then that's dull.
Right.
Going to the different countries as they are now 50 years from now, that's not what you want to go to a theme park for. It just isn't. And so that's why I don't think it will exist.
All right. Well, I think that's – did we hit everything?
I think we did.
Is there anything in Epcot we're saying stays?
I don't think so. I personally don't think
Spaceship Earth?
Except for the ball itself. But I don't think
– What's inside of it?
In 50 years, I don't think it will be Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, I probably agree with you on that. It may
the only thing that stays –
I mean, they've already tried to get rid of it once.
The only thing that stays at least for 30 years are the – the little stones that have the people's names on them.
I got another 30 years on my contract.
Right. So that's the only thing, and that only gets you 30 years in the future. Yeah. Who knows about that extra 20?
I'll have to look and see what my contract actually stated. I think it was 50 years. I think I got him until 2050, and I think I got him, or 2058, and I think I got him in 2008. 2007,
there you go.
Maybe. So we'll see.
So 40 years left.
There you go.
Wow.
I'll have to look and see what that.
Check.
I don't know where that contract is. I got it. My wife and I were dating, so it's been a while.
I think that's what they're hoping for.
Exactly. I'm sure knowing Disney, just like DVC, there's a clause in it that says, we decided to not do this anymore.
It's
sorry.
Just goes away.
Right. All right.
I think we've answered the 50 years that.
It's depressing. I don't even like this show.
I know. I'm very like.
Let's move on. I don't like this show at all. Go listen to the Patreon show. It's more fun. It's $5. Go listen to it. You'll laugh. This one, I'm just like in a depression now. Hopefully, Lynn can cheer us up. We'll be right back with listener questions with Lynn.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right. Heather. Heather says, do all of the one-bedroom villas. We're going to talk about Beach Club now. One of the bedroom villas at Beach Club fit 5 people. Are there any specific rooms you would request or looking for something on the top floor? So I guess mainly let's start with the first question. Do all the bedroom villas at Beach Club fit 5 people?
I believe they all do. I think they've all got that some sort of bet option.
Yeah. Pull out thing or something.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, hopefully that that answers that. Any room suggestions there, or does it really matter?
I would use the hotel room finder on the site.
See what you like.
Isn't that resort in the middle, or did it just complete a renovation of the rooms?
That's a good question. I'm looking on the sites, and I don't see anything current going on, so I'm going with...
Yeah, because I know they added the drop-down, you know, the little... I think they got, they were getting or are getting the drop-down.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, in the DVC studio rooms.
Drop down.
The
blinds?
Oh, the
dresser.
The small drop down bed, yeah.
Oh, it pulls out.
It pulls out from, instead
like
of
a
the
Murphy
like,
bed.
Like under the
TV. Yeah, they've changed
perfect
that piece
place
of
to
furniture.
Put a kid.
Yeah. In a kind of a twin bed, but not really.
All right. Well, hopefully that answers. Terry's going to keep Googling for you. Tommy Ob, his name. Tommy Ob says, how, if at all, has the new in park opening at Magic Kingdom affected touring plans? So there's the whole new procedure. It's a little bit different. No more opening show, a different opening show. How does it change people's touring plans?
Well, it does a little bit. One of the things that we've noticed is that Disney has started offering shows that start literally within 10 minutes of the park opening. So back when they were first testing this procedure out late last year, they had a Sophia the First show that began in the park at the Castle Forecourt at like 9:08 a.m.
Yeah. It's so or Elena. Elena.
That's it. Elena. Yeah. Yes. And sorry, that was it.
Sorry, I have the little kids, so I'm well aware.
Totally, yeah, no, that's fine. I was trying to think of what it was. So it meant that if you got there at 9 o'clock, you had to hustle to get through security and through the turnstiles to get to there at 9:00. But basically it was for people who had already been in the park for 10 or 15 minutes. Who maybe had already been on one more ride. That is something that we had not explicitly planned for in the touring plan. So if you want to do things like that, we're still working through a couple of issues. If there's a show prior to like 9, 10 a.m. I'm waiting for the day when they do one of those Muppet Great Moments in History with the Muppet thing, but like at 9:05 a.m. we're literally, you'd have to sprint all the way back to Liberty Square to see it. But that's so far that's been the only change that Disney's shown this willingness to do special shows within, you know, 15 minutes of the Magic Kingdom opening, on the assumption that there are so many people already on Main Street that they could go to the Kessel Forecourt. That's been the big thing so far.
All right. Here's a what you got, Terry?
So, updating on the Beach Club Villas.
Thank you.
I'm looking at, you know, this website that seems to be reliable for information called touringplans.com. And according to your data, sir, you're saying 4-bedroom for the...
Four people.
The one bedroom.
That's what I was looking at, but now I have to go back and look to see whether.
I know there was a moment where there was they had released information about they were going to do a refit on that, so they may have some rooms that have that. Because I know this seemed to be they've done it at the boardwalk, and I think they were going basically across the street. And I never understand this whole sleep thing, anyways, because.
Understand sleep?
Well, no, I don't understand why they would release a product like the studio, which always sleeps four because there's always a queen and a double in a double pullout. So that always why the one bedroom wouldn't at least allow for one more person because that's double the
space,
and double the points.
That's also one of the interesting things that we saw. Do you guys see the DVC points chart for the new Wilderness Lodge stuff?
Yes.
The studios only sleep four.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I don't know. That's the opposite of the trend that we've seen at all the other. It could be that the Wilderness Lodge rooms themselves are smaller than.
I'm at the DVC talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And you know
at Wilderness Lodge.
No, at the DVC party a few weeks ago.
Oh, got it.
And talking to this guy, it's like, oh yeah, this is Ken. He's the VP. Runs the whole thing. Runs Disney Cruise Line or runs Adventures by Disney and. And he had asked me, he's like, well, what do you think of the new Wilderness Lodge? I was like, man, it looks like Bay Lake Tower, but with like some highlights from like an outdoorsy store. Because they're very like white walls and, you know, they're with kind of a nod to maybe craftsman styling, if you will. But they don't, they look kind of weird for the Wilderness Lodge. Now, maybe just the pictures I've seen aren't great pictures, but my kind of first thoughts on the Wilderness Lodge is like, I'm not sure these are. I'm not yet convinced.
There's a lot of glass, isn't there?
A lot of glass. I mean, the walls are just cream. They're like, they're not very themed, because the other ones are, you know, very like, you know, it feels like you're in a cabin in Gatlinburg or Asheville or something.
I thought they looked okay. The points themselves looked expensive. I was surprised at the lack of a fifth child or, you know, fifth person option, but I understand it, because the way that the Wilderness Lodge rooms are relatively small, I get why they would do that. It's a lot of points.
Yeah,
and the maintenance on it's what? It's like $766 a point.
Oh, it's one of the most expensive maintenance.
Ooh.
So I actually had one of the DVC guys walk me around the resort. If you're staring at the resort from Bay Lake, so you're at, you know, you're in the pool, you're looking back towards the lobby, the lake is to your back. Everything to the left is DVC now. So the DVC building is the older, which is it's Boulder.
Copper Ridge.
No, there's like two.
Dances with the Wolves.
They're calling it two resorts.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
So there's the original, because it's deeded property. So the first one is like Boulder, I think it's Boulder Ridge. And then the new is Copper Creek. But so everything to the left will all be DVC. They're taking out a lot of just regular rooms at the Wilderness Lodge. Literally half of the hotel is what's being fitted over, and obviously the new cabins. Now, one of the things they did highlight is that they're about, I think they said about 65 or 70% of the point value of what the Polynesian would be.
Well, but they it's like saying we completely overpriced this last one. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, Pandora questions. We've got two more questions. Let's just hit those and be done with the Pandora business. A lot of people are asking about soft opening. Do we have any idea?
I've heard the earliest it could possibly happen for AP and DVC holders is around the third week of April, and that's like the very, very earliest that it could possibly happen. So like maybe the end of the week of – the date that I heard is the earliest is possibly the 22nd. So that's what I've heard, that it couldn't possibly be earlier than
that. And we assume from then on, from opening – not necessarily soft opening, but from opening on, nighttime Animal Kingdom just is every night.
Yeah, I think it'll be running most nights, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do a soft. Maybe
you wrong.
I don't think they'll do a soft until
that's
much
risky.
Closer.
That's risky.
Because in your experience, Lynn, do they do the soft before the press event ever?
Yeah.
Usually it's pretty fairly significantly.
Yeah,
you gotta get stuff worked out.
Right. So for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I think we all got to ride it that Memorial Day, well in advance of the press event, which I think was in May. Okay. And the thing that just happened with Rivers of Light, they want to make sure that nothing like that happens.
That it works
on Pandora. Yeah, that it's going to have to work, and it's going to have to work reliably for, you know, thousands of people for hours and hours and hours on it. If they're not cycling through ride vehicles right now, I'd be shocked.
All right, let's talk about ride vehicle real quick. After seeing some of that stuff, what do you think the Banshee ride vehicle is? What are we looking at?
It looks like something like an adaptation of the Tron light cycle from Shanghai. Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
But it's multiple people across a row, so it's like rows of two. It looks like the dinosaur, you know, like five or seven across. I don't know.
It's odd.
It's definitely unusual. The thing that I was trying to figure out from the photos was how much of the screen surrounds you and how much of it is in front of you. Yeah. For a truly immersive experience, you want it to be at least, you know, 120, 140 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
Around.
It doesn't necessarily look like that.
No, it doesn't. But I'm thinking there could be something with the glasses, because there's definitely 3D glasses involved that would do that. The other thing that I'm trying to figure out is everything I've heard about the boat ride, the river journey, is that it's a relatively short ride, like 4 or 5 minutes, and that there are a lot of screens.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Those two things aren't the things that Disney's done well in the past. Mm-hmm. So there could be a challenge there. And the problem is they've only got two rides, right? Having one of them be very good and one of them be not very good, it would be a disappointment. There's, you know, the saying, you had one job, you had two jobs, you know?
Right.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe it just blows us away. Maybe it's super realistic. We'll see.
Yeah, even the little clip they're kind of showing with like the character that kind of walks up on the screen part of the boat ride.
It's not very whelming.
No.
I'm not whelmed.
Right. There's nothing about that looks super impressive.
The little wolf or whatever
that thing is, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't like blown away by that thing. It's clearly on a screen, even when you're watching like the promo ad.
Yeah, that it's and I don't think that's a 3D ride. So they'll have some challenges there making that look realistic in the context of it, especially in a slow moving boat ride when you've got some time to focus on it. It's not like you're on the, you know, the robotic arm of Forbidden Journey where you've got 0.2 seconds to see something.
Right. All right. We've completed our talk about Pandora. Let's take some normal Disney questions.
All right.
And then let you go. All right. Laura says, what's the best on-property resort to stay in? Oh, this feels so good to talk about. Just the best on-property resort to stay at for a group of 8 adults, 2 children under 3 years old, DVC included in that. So guys, what do you think, Lynn? Best on-property.
No, it's
8 adults, 2 adults, or 2 children under 3.
Grand Villa.
Yeah. If you can, I mean, it says DVC included. So if you can afford it, then yeah, that's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
The Grand Villas Ridge, in general.
Yeah. Kidani Ridge really, really high with everyone. Animals, because the animals, because the restaurants, because the theming. The other one that I would say, Grand Floridian, also ranks high. So one of those 2 choices.
All right.
Huge difference in points if you're talking DVC.
Dude, did I ever tell you that the one time that I got to stay at Grand Floridian, the only time that it was available for a 1-bedroom was like Easter week a couple of years ago?
Oh, gosh.
I forget. Laurel didn't tell me how many points we used on it, but basically what she said was this is the rest of our points for the year for this one night.
Yeah, I stayed in a 1-bedroom at Kidani a few weeks ago. And that's actually one of my – I'd never done a 1-bedroom there before. And, man, that was really nice. And I think – I know that sleeps 5 because it has more. But, yeah, I was really kind of impressed with just the theming.
Oh, yeah. The bathrooms are huge,
the bathroom's
right?
Huge, yeah. Because there's literally an entire second bathroom, which a lot of the 1-bedrooms don't have. A lot of the times have like an extra water closet. And the shower's obviously separate. But this had like a tub shower. Almost like – so you could host people in your room if you wanted to and they had like the guest bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. That's so nice.
That's very nice. All right, Lynn, it's from Michelle. If you could, this is a fun one. If you could be any Disney costume or face character for a day, who would you be and why? And we'll open this to everybody. How about that?
I'd be Robin Hood because I wouldn't have to be out there often.
only special occasions. Yeah. All right. Terry? We can let you think on it.
You know, he's round. He's airy. He's large. I'm going to go Baymax.
Oh, that's good. Good. That probably feels pretty good.
Yeah. He's got his own air conditioning system, so that's got to be in my favor.
All right, Lynn, what are you?
I think Jack Sparrow, because he gets to have the most fun. Like, it's either him or Gaston, but I don't have the physique of a Gaston.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't have the physique of either of them. I'll be Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, a lot of eyeliner.
Yeah. I'll be Ralph. That's a very uncomfortable costume, but yeah, I'd like to be a face character version of Ralph. Or they don't do it for what's that, Maui from Moana. It's just like no clothes. I should wear like a little grass, you know, thing. Good to go. Very, very breezy. All right. James asked like 3 questions. James, we hit 1 question this time. Next time I'll get you more. Is it better to book FastPass Plus or Dining Package for Rivers of Light? Is one seat better than the other?
I think the FastPass seats are a little bit better. The dining ones are on Dinoland, I believe. And I think the perspective is a little bit better if you get a fast pass and you sit in Asia. That's my preference. I don't think it matters that much.
Terry, you did the dining. We talked about it all last week, so you can go back and hear that whole episode reviewing that one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the seat was great. I think the dining packages are going to be less people than the fast pass.
Yeah.
Because if you split the theater in half, the way that I understand it, is if you're, you know, standing at the top deck, everything to the right is fast pass. Mm-hmm. Correct, and then there's kind of a middle-ish section where the dining is, and the standby is over in the Dino Land area too. You know, I mean, we walked right up with no hassle and no, you know, with the dining plan. You know, I didn't wait in line anywhere. We walked right up about 40 minutes before the show. We were sat on the front row, so I was happy.
There you go. I haven't done it yet. I'll let you know when I've done it. All right. We're going to let Lynn go here. We'll let him do one more. This is like an old standard question. I feel like we've been asked 1,000 times, but let's ask it again. This is from Kyle. It says, Lynn, do length of stay mugs work if you switch resorts mid-trip, or do they expire when you check out the first time?
I don't think they officially expire. What I've seen is there are signs up there that say you know, the terms under which you buy the mug is that it's good for your length of stay at this particular resort. I don't think there's anything that will prevent you from moving to a to another resort, at least, I mean, within any reasonable length of time. If you come back 6 months later and you say that, you know, you've been living over at Trias Villas, someone might ask questions. But, you know, within 30 days or so, I think you'll be fine moving from resort to resort.
Cool.
So
Harry's got it.
I just did this because we had dining plan. We had deluxe and it was split stay. So we had to, you know, we got the mugs twice. We didn't even use our second mugs. We got them because it's like, what?
Wow. Yeah.
But
exactly.
Interestingly, I did one, I think on the first of the month, you know, you go and you refill it. It tells you how long you have left. And I think I got to the 17th on the first. On the second, I got to the, on the second set of mugs, we had the entire month of March. So, you know, they definitely work. They program them. They work at any of the cert counter services, you know, anywhere in the resorts. And so, you know, if you, you know, I highly recommend split stays. So if you get them on the, that first night or that first part of the trip and you want to use them the rest of the time, you know, if you're there 2 weeks, you're probably good. After that, they kind of start to, you may or may not. Interestingly enough, they told me last time that if you just kept your receipt with you, that if you happen to leave them in the room or lost them, just let them know and they'll still take care of you. And I
so just throw that in your wallet.
Yeah, just keep that receipt just in case. And
or if you don't want to lug your wallet or lug your mug around.
Yeah, I mean that was sort of I tried it just because I was like I wanted to see if it worked.
Right.
So when we went to Geyser Falls on the last day, we had already packed our luggage and our mugs were packed, and we went to the counter. And I was like, oh man, we had the mugs. I just left it in the car. He's like, oh man, and I showed him the receipt. He's like, oh, here's two cups and gave us you know drinks. So
sounds good. All right. Well, Lynn,
awesome,
we're going to let you go take a break and relax, chill, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks to Lynn. Thanks for bringing in some levity and making things funny, or at least mathematical, which is better than the depressingness that Terry sent us into.
Hey.
We do have a couple cool announcements to talk about. One, obviously, if you're in the Patreon group, thank you. And if you're not, go do it. We do an extra show each week. And next week, we're going to do our first Producers Club meeting, which means you get to help us decide what the next four shows are. Just go to patreon.com/WDWtoday, or you can find it right on our website on WDWtoday.com. Also, there's a little thing that Will and I are doing next March. Terry's probably doing it too.
Yeah.
But we want to get your feedback. We already got feedback from our other shows. Now we need to know if you guys want it. And it's called the Pod Cruise. And it's a 3-night cruise out of the Orlando area, out of Port Canaveral, on the Norwegian Epic. Yes, it's not a Disney ship. We understand that may deter some of you, but don't. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have great deals and great packages, and we're going to be going on there with a lot of other podcasts, including our stable of shows like Scare Zone, like BLT Lunch Break probably, like the podcast is definitely going to have a huge crowd there. Top of the World may be there. We'll see who. Look, if you have a podcast and you want to be involved in it, let us know. It's our baby that we're running here, but you can do that. Just go to www.today.com. I think you can go to /cruise, or you can actually just go to www.today.com. There's a button that says cruise. Click that button. It'll take you to the site, and you can fill out a short form. And we're trying to see if we collect enough. Again, it's next March. It's going to run March 7th through 10th on the Norwegian Epic. And we have great travel packages and offerings and come. It's going to be fun. We're going to do some live recordings of some of the podcasts. We're just going to be hanging out, having a good time, special activities. The boat looks awesome. I know, again, it's not Disney, but it is what it is.
So
but that is in March.
As a Disney cruise line purist,
yes,
when you first mentioned the idea, I was like, dear Lord, what have you done? But I've done my homework. The boat does look fantastic. The perks that you get for signing up on the cruise that you'll find when you sign up, we'll get you all the information, are over the top, great experiences. If you're a Disney Cruise Line fan and you're thinking you're a little hesitant, what better in the world than to be on a boat with Logan for 3 days?
Look, Will and I will be there regardless because we're repping our other show. So even if WDW Today doesn't come officially, it kind of does because 2/3 of us are there.
Yeah, and I'll probably come anyways.
Yeah, probably just come for fun. So come hang out with us on the Pod Cruise. Just go again, fill out that form. You will be able to immediately email you guys once we hit sort of a threshold to see if there's enough to make it actually WDW Today. Like, we're going to do shows and such, but we'll be there regardless. And hope to see you guys there in March. And Terry's got something else he wants to talk about something coming up in a little bit closer.
Yeah, in June, I'm doing an event called The Thing in Orlando with some friends of mine. Even Logan is going to come and talk a little.
I hope so.
Oh, you are?
I think I'm going to try to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there like Terry's going to be at the cruise. Like, it's probably going to happen.
And my buddy McNair Wilson is a Disney Imagineer. My buddy Vital from Cirque du Soleil. It's an event for entrepreneurs and creatives. Really fun VIP experience we're going to do if you want to sign up for that. We're going to spend the day in the park with the Disney Imagineer and learn how the creative process that Disney did.
Cool.
Learn some fun. There's a lot of fun Disney things that you might not have gotten on the cruise, but they were going to have some really fun. If you're a business person and want to, you know, learn about how to promote your brand, we'll probably even talk a little bit about podcasting.
All right, where do we
go? For fun, you can go to thething.live, and if you use the code WDW today, you get $200 off.
Oh, geez. This is a big discount.
So thething.live.
There you go. Will, what do you got going on?
Pod cruise with the podcast.
Yeah, so
we'll be there. We're having all you can drink on that cruise if you're a podcast listener.
Hey guys, I'll be in Orlando potentially next week for WrestleMania, so keep an eye out for me. If you guys happen to have any extra tickets, let me know. And I'll be hanging out that weekend and for a week, so hopefully we'll see you guys there. I know some of you were considering coming out to Palm Springs to go see Welcome Home Dick Van Dyke. I appreciate you still going. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend, not because of WrestleMania, but for other reasons. Therefore, I'm going to WrestleMania because I can't make my way to the West Coast. So really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. And I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you in 50 years.